my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be able to come and break the bread of life with you. It's congratulations to your pastor for 46 years. I was thinking 46 years. I said, wow, I was only 7 years old when he started here. 46 years, what a blessing. If you don't mind, would you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll look at the last two verses. I want to thank the Lord for my wife and my mother who's traveled with me. I have some excellent friends back there who usually go everywhere I go to speak, members of Clifford, Mr. Ed and Miss Ann. I thank them for coming, and once again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to look at the last two verses. This will be our focus. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And verse 13 reads, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, oh God, to share your word with this here, your people, oh God. Lord, a privilege you have put upon me, oh God. I am in no way worthy, oh Lord, but you count me worthy anyway. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would come and do that which I am incapable of doing, oh Lord, and share your word with your people, oh Lord. We pray, oh God, that you would make it plain and make it simple, make it understandable, oh God. Fill me, use me, oh God, that you may be glorified in every way. It's in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, I do ask. Amen. 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 Ecclesiastes. And for a topic, if you would like, the wise don't always do the wisest thing. The wise don't always do the wisest thing. In the very first chapter of this book of Ecclesiastes, in the first verse of this book, the writer identifies himself as a preacher. He says that he also is the son of David and the king of Jerusalem. David had only one son that fit this title and would go by no other name than King Solomon. The title of preacher he uses here means that one that gathers the assembly together for instruction. Solomon had something to say to the people of God. He needed to drop some serious wisdom, some serious knowledge on his people. First, you all remember who Solomon was. He was the second son born to King David by his wife, Bathsheba. For their first son, the Lord killed as an infant as a lesson to Solomon for his sinful, adulterous, and murderous relationship with Bathsheba. For the Lord loved Solomon, and he could not allow him to get away with, loved David, and he could not allow David to get away with such a sinful act. So after David's repentance, God comforted him and gave him and Bathsheba a second son whom they named Solomon. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 through 25, that the Lord loved Solomon, and he instructed Nathan the prophet to call his name Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. And this is the point that you need to remember, beloved of the Lord, God gave the name to to Solomon. The Bible says in 1 Kings 3:5 that after Solomon became king, that the Lord appeared to him at Gibeon in a dream and said to him, "Ask what you shall, and I'll give you." Can you imagine the Lord asking you and I that? What would you or me had asked of the Lord? If we had our health was decent, we might ask the Lord to make us rich. But if we were struggling with our flesh in other ways, maybe with the Lord to heal our body or to remove this cancer or to give me back 20 or 30 years of my youth, or maybe save my child or save my friend, my coworker, save one of my family members. Even when and on our best, it would be still something about us, about me, something about me. However, Solomon didn't ask for anything for me or himself. He asked for the people, for others. People he didn't even personally know. He asked to be able to bless God's people. This is one reason God called him beloved of the Lord. It's a point here about prayer. Praying for others is how we get our prayers answered. Our prayers should not always be about ourselves. When I teach people to pray, I say, you know, first, you know, we start with all exaltation. Exalting God and who he is and how great and awesome and wonderful he is and all the great and wonderful things that he's done. And then we go into prayer for other people before we pray for ourselves. Jesus Christ taught us that we are to love our neighbors, you know, as ourselves. The Bible teaches us this, that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. Our minds ought to be on Christ, and if our mind is on Christ, then it ought to be about others, for we are our brother's keeper. What is our first thought? Is it just about me and mine? They don't look like me. They ain't rolling like me. They ain't rolling like I'm rolling. They ain't worked as hard as me. They're not in my same class or social structure, you know, he names us, we're not in Jesus' class yet. None of us are in Jesus' class, just he came and he died for all of us. God himself died for man, the creature's sin. None of us were in his class. Solomon asked God, in 1 Kings 3:9, for an understanding heart, he said, to judge your people, to judge God's people. And because it pleased God that he didn't ask for himself, he said, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you something that you didn't ask for. He said, I'm going to give you riches, and I'm going to give you honor. So that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all of your days. But God didn't just give Solomon ordinary wisdom. The word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 3:12, he says, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. None before and none after. None ever before, not Moses, the friend of God, not Abraham, not David, the man after God's own heart. He says none before or none after, nor anyone after you. I believe the Lord added that after you part, least we should simply be because in the Bible tells us the good and the bad, it does not attempt to conceal its hero's faults. Therefore, we know Solomon's faults, his mistakes, his departure from the ways of the Lord. A lot of us would say we know his backslidings, that we ourselves might think that we are wiser than Solomon. I believe that's why he added that, none after you. Because a lot of people think, that they're so wise. You know, my grandmother used to say, you know, a lot of people think that they're so slick that they can get by, get over on the Lord. And I remember my grandmother used to say, you get so slick that you slide. It is easy standing on the outside looking down our noses at a person's shortfalls or their mark missings, sins, if you will, to judge a person as dirty, unclean, unholy, or as offense to God. It is easy for us to judge ourselves holier than someone else because they didn't make it through whatever situation they were going through, because their house wasn't as pretty as our house, because their house wasn't as in order as our house. It is easy for us to pick up rocks and throw stones at someone who may have come up on the rough side of the mountain. It is easy for us not to want to be associated with those type of people. I believe they call Jesus Christ a friend of sinners. And who is this man? You know, he eats with tax collectors and prostitutes. I believe the problem in the church today is as Christians who keep their nose turned up. We keep our nose turned up. How are we going to witness to the world? People don't want to associate with us because we too good for them. So let us remember, God said that when it comes to wisdom, Solomon, it says, nor shall any like you arise after you. So he was the wisest man that ever lived. Yet he did not have perfect wisdom. Only God has perfect wisdom. Or Solomon would have known that which the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians over 1,000 years later in 1 Corinthians 8:1, when he says that knowledge puffs up. You know, I usually often say that I wished I had just keep my Christianity basic. You know, you repent of your sins, you ask Christ to come into your life, you allow him to clean you up, and you live and you walk for the Lord. You know, I used to say that I wished I didn't go and do all this studying and understand all this stuff, because now I'm a whole lot more accountable. I mean, we're accountable anyway. But the more you know, the more we're held accountable for. A lot of us are seeing those who we consider and were giants of the faith, giants of Christianity, fall. It's nothing new. We've seen it with Abraham to Moses. Even if it was just Moses getting mad and hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, we see it to David, and most definitely Solomon. All the way to Peter's denial of Christ, to Paul's persecution of Christians, to the murder of Stephen. And we see it from the big Bible preachers of today, that the humble, to the humble, ordinary brother and sister in Christ. You know, it reminds me that the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, that the falling away must come first. The falling away must come first. For some, we would say that they got the big head syndrome. Paul called it being puffed up. Or maybe they just slipped up. It lets us know that preachers need to practice what they preach. But not just preachers, all Christians need to practice what we preach. You know, I heard the brother say, as he began singing his song, that he just don't sing about it, he lives it. Wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to say that about all our gospel songwriters? You know, some of the most amazing songs and some of the lives they live don't match up with what they're singing. Paul says in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Paul would go on to say in 1 Corinthians 8:2, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. You think Paul maybe have been thinking just a little bit about Solomon? He most definitely was talking about himself, how in his early career, before he met Jesus, thought he knew it all, living the life of the Pharisees. Now, we better get back on Solomon here. I think it's fair to say that King Solomon had it going on very much and in every way. My Uncle Joe Boy used to say, for people like this who seemed like they had all the money they had, he said, this is how you feel when you ain't worried. Speaking of when they had it all, material things in life. But the Bible and reality of life tells us a different story. It tells us the real story. When a man or woman gets outside of God's perimeters or boundaries for their life, they are emotionally and spiritually and even physically tore up from the floor up. Even though they may be able to hide it very well. That's one reason our suicide rate is so high, even among the rich and famous. You see, when a Christian acts like he or she don't know, when a Christian forgets where he or she came from and who it was that redeemed their soul from hell, they are in danger of losing what Paul calls the peace of God. In Romans 5:1, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 11:30, about Christians coming to the Lord's table with unconfessed sin and unrepented sin in their heart. He says, that's why some of you are weak, some of you are sick. He says, and even some of them sleep. Some of them are dead. Israel's first king can testify of this. Not only would he lose his mind from time to time, but he got himself and his whole family killed. Old Saul. God does clean around his own front door first. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? If the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? If those who have been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ are scarcely, hardly, barely, almost not, we are not only saved with great difficulty, but suffering great loss and with great pain by denying ourselves, as Matthew 6:24. He says, considering others better than ourselves, bearing one another's burdens. You see, Jesus says that I like the scripture that says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And it says that the violent take it by force. We got to fight our way into heaven. It ain't just an easy walk in. People think they can just say a few words and come down and shake the preacher's hand and get baptized, they think they're automatically going. And they go out and live any kind of way, do anything that they want. We got to press our way in, force our way in. The Bible says those who endure, what? To the end. It says to the end. We show that we're saved by enduring to the end, by our walk, by our lifestyle, not just on Sunday morning, but our entire life. We are continually being saved. We got to press our way in. Jesus' blood was precious, and it ain't just that easy. People think it's just that easy. It is easy. I mean, Christ died for us, but you got to have him in your heart. Those words got to be real. You know, that's why James says that, you know, you show him your faith without works. He said, and I show you my faith by my works. In other words, I show you my faith by what I do, by how I live my life. King Solomon lived life to the extreme. He forgot all about the Lord God who created him and gave him most, but not all those things he were enjoying, so to speak. God didn't give it all to him. The Bible says all good things come from above, a good and perfect thing. He didn't give it all that stuff that he acquired. So the Bible says every good and perfect gift, as I said, James 1:17. You see, Solomon did not have perfect wisdom. If he did, he would not have engaged in such hideous sins. James 1:13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. If Solomon would have had perfect wisdom, he would have seen himself turning from the ways of the Lord and such great destruction that it would bring. 1 Kings 11 details Solomon's sins. 1 Kings 11:1 says that he loved many foreign women. Said he loved many foreign women. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8. Solomon says, I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the province. I inquired male and female singers, delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. A lot of commentators says that this musical instruments refers to women. Solomon said he gathered women of all kinds. All kind, I mean, you know, almost like a person would gather collectible cars. It was like a trophy to him. He said he gathered it all. No, God did not tell you, Solomon, to cheat on your spouse. God did not tell you to leave your spouse simply because you weren't in love anymore. No, God said that kings should not multiply wives. You know, we live in a world today, man, isn't it terrible? People don't know what they are. Don't know what they are. They hop from bed to bed, from house to house. I mean, they take off and leave for any reason, just because someone else looked better. And the world glorifies it. Every TV show that you look at now, it glorifies it. 1 Kings 11:2 told him, says that we are Solomon that not to intermarry because it would turn his heart from God. How many Christians, and it wouldn't, this intermarry was talking about people outside of the faith, people who were not saved, who did not believe in God Almighty. It had nothing to do with color. It had to do with religion. Now, how many people do we know? How many people do we know who marry an unsaved man or unsaved woman and Then we don't see them no more. Then they're crying and blaming God, like, because God gave them what they kept asking for. They kept running after it, running. God said, all right, here. I told you don't do it here. And now they're crying. God, why won't you fix them? Why won't you do this? Why won't you help me? Why do I have to go through all this? The Lord said, I told you not to do it. I've seen a plenty young ladies who were on fire for Christ, going off and being missionaries, and next thing you know, this fella hanging around, buddy, you know, he coming to church, and as soon as he get her, you don't see him no more. And then they tore up from the floor up. God said, don't do it. He told Solomon, don't do it. Solomon took it to the stream, for the Bible said he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And it says in verses 2 and 3 there, in 1 Kings there, 11, it says that he clung to them in love. I mean, he was head over heels. He was infatuated. It said he clung to them. I mean, he gave it all to him. His heart was, I mean, Solomon was cuckoo. He was cuckoo. He just lost it. He clung to them in love. 1 Kings 11, 4 through 8 said, his wives turned his heart from the Lord his God. And it says that he worshiped, 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 through 8, it says that he worshiped, you circle that word, other gods. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, the person that God spoke to. You think, how in the world, if God came down and spoke to me, the God who created me that could kill me just like that with just a thought, a God that, I mean, that could wreck my whole life, that could do anything, the wisest man who ever did, who knew the word, he said, what in the world? I think that what in the world could he have been thinking? I say the same thing, you know, about the children of Israel when Moses brought them out and he did all those wonders for them and parted the Red Sea. And soon as he went up to the mountain, boy, they had to get the party on. Soon as the man of God got out of sight, just like the Lord wasn't watching them. Just because the preacher ain't around, Jesus was around, he was watching them. I said, what in the world? How can someone stoop so low? It said that he worships other gods. 1 Kings 11, 5 said he worshiped Ashtaroth. In his book, Return of the Gods, a great book, Jonathan Kahn, he said that she was a Canaanite god, the goddess of love and fertility. To the ancient Sumerians, she was Inanna. In Babylon, she was known as Ishtar. The Greeks called her Aphrodite. To the Romans, she was the goddess Venus. She had the title Queen of Heaven, the goddess of sexuality, the breaker of rules, the goddess of prostitution. She was a seductress, an enchantress, a sorceress, a goddess of magic and spells. Also known in Assyria and Babylon as Ishtar, she transformed herself from female to male and back again. What in the world? What's going on? What are we seeing today? Huh? Return of the gods. She transformed herself from female to male and back again. Matthew 16:23 said, and he answered, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and tested him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. He says, hypocrites, Jesus says, You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Man, we glorifying all this stuff today, you know. They glorifying in it. It was a whole lot worse back then, but we're getting there now. Romans 1 says, not only those who practice it, it says, but those who also agree with it. Solomon, the Bible says, went after Milcom, 1 Kings 11:5. Another name for Molech. Names mean the one who rules. This worship was associated with child sacrifice. Now, where did Solomon get all those children to sacrifice? You know, I don't guess I'm allowed to mention my body, my choice. I guess I ain't allowed to mention Planned Parenthood. What's all going on today? You know, they talking about Social Security failing, you know, in a number of years. And I heard a fellow go back and they said, why? You know, it was something that started years ago and they gave the number of abortions way up in the millions. And it said if each one of those kids that were aborted, you know, it showed how much money they would have been making and putting into Social Security. And that's where your problem is. We killed all of our workers. You know, God made man. He said, before I formed you in the womb. I've always heard, you know, that two wrongs don't make a right. People out there love to have a child. My body, my choice is that baby was a gift from God. That's a different body. When Solomon said he did it all, he means he did it all. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 reads, he says, whatever my eyes desire, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. He said, and this was my reward from all his labor. He said, he didn't hold back anything. Anything, and Solomon had the means to do it. He was a king, super wealthy. Solomon said, I didn't hold back anything. A man whom God appeared to twice and named him Jedidiah, you remember? Beloved of the Lord, the wisest man who ever lived, a man that when he came to himself, like the prodigal son did, he could look back over his life and see where the Lord had brought him from. He could see how the Lord spared him when he was lost, sinking in a world of sin. If the Apostle Paul had been around then, he would have said, like 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. When Solomon came to himself and he looked back over his life, he realized what he had done and what God could have done and should have done to him. He came to the conclusion that life was just a vapor. He said, this life is just a vapor. And that someday, soon and very soon, no matter how much he was loved of the Lord, he was still going to die and stand before God, his maker, in the judgment. He realized that the only thing that would matter when judgment day came was if you were right with God. If you were at peace with God. If you had peace with God. Ecclesiastes 2:10 says, the preacher, Solomon, said, whatever my eyes desire, I didn't keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in it all, and he had the means and the money to do it. But now, as he approaches the end of his life, he realizes that what he thought was having fun, what he thought was enjoyment, wasn't worth it. He realized what the writer of Psalms, Asaph, said in Psalm 73:18 concerning the wicked. He said, "Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with fear." You know, if you read that song, Psalm 73, at first Asaph said when he thought about it, when he seen, you know, how the wicked were prospering, he said, when I seen, you know, all the fun they seemed like they were having, they never got sick, seemed like, you know, you ever seen a real evil, mean person, seemed like they don't ever get sick. I mean, mean people, you know, I guess it's just God's grace. They don't seem like they don't get sick, you know, they don't have troubles like regular people and seem like they're going to live forever. Asaph, when I thought about it, when I watched them people out there cursing the Lord and still living good, right, and I'm here struggling, trying to live right and walk right and do right, and every time I turn around, it's the doctor for this or this bill there, he said, and I look at them, he said, when I thought about it, I almost threw my head in. If you read Psalm 73, he said, well, I thought about it, I almost gave out. He said, but then God opened my eyes, and he showed me. He showed me, Asaph said. A lot of people today, especially church folk, want to play with God because of all their worldly obtained possessions, their careers, their money, their houses, their land, their cars, their independence. They don't want to risk losing anything. You watch people, you know, they don't want to get married because they think, you know, they get divorced, they're going to lose all of this. And so they sneak around, they run around. And while they're running around, they come to church and they serve harder and they give more like they're trying to bribe God. And when you look at them, you say, what in the world? You worrying about money, you worrying about houses, don't you know you ain't going to live forever? What in the world? Solomon said when he thought about, you know. Yet we know what the scripture says in Matthew 7:21-23. It says, in that day, you will say to me, what? Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name? Didn't we do all this stuff? And we know the scriptures. Those people that are doing it know the scriptures. He said, what in the world are you thinking? What in the world? Jesus said, didn't I do all this stuff in your name? He says, what? Depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, my goodness. Can you think about living, what, 60, 70, 80, 90 years here on earth, thinking you're doing something, thinking you're having fun, and then you got to spend eternity in hell? The life says, what, when I've been there, what, 10,000 years, I've only just begun. I'm talking about in heaven. I've only just begun. And because I thought I was having fun, getting over on Jesus, getting over on the Lord, I didn't want to share nothing, going to lose something. You know, whatever God gives you, he gives you. You know, we're worried about living right and doing right. That's what we ought to worry about. And it's like Jesus said, you know, don't fear man, fear God, who after he kill you can cast your soul in hell. That's what we ought to fear. When we know, when they know they were doing wrong, you know, they come to church and, yeah, give more. I pay my tithe like they going to buy Jesus off, like going to bribe him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, of course, we know the judgment seat is for saved people. Only the righteous going to appear before the judgment seat. But I mean, I always say, who want to go through all this hell on earth and then get there and lose a lot of reward? People say, long as I get in, yeah, but you don't know what you're going to be doing in there. I mean, my dad used to say, somebody got to clean them streets. Yeah. You know, long as I get in, long as I make it in is all I'm worrying about. That's what. Man, I don't understand it. Jesus says, if you love me, what? You keep my commandments. How we say we love Jesus? If you love me, you keep my commandments. What are you trying to say? I'm saying you and I aren't Solomon, who God appeared to twice and gave him the name Beloved of the Lord. Nor are we Abraham, Moses, or David, who from the foundations of the world, God had already preordained, predetermined how he was going to use them as an example for us. A lot of people, I think now, the only thing I can imagine is if they read these stories and they see the things that Solomon and David did, and, you know, and it seemed like they got away with it, that they figure, you know, well, I can do it too. But I know that the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. I don't know if he said that about us. We're supposed to be after God's own heart. But God called David a man after his own heart, and he called Solomon Jedediah, beloved of the Lord. He knew what Solomon was going to do. He knew how he was going to use Solomon. Something got to be wrong with us to try to tempt God as though he had that special plan for us. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. After he came to his senses, after he realized how he had messed up, after he realized God could have struck him down and killed him anytime he wanted, after he realized what God could have done to him, where he should have been. I mean, God in his grace, just because he don't bust us in the head every time we mess up right away, don't mean it ain't coming. You know, I always say it's like a credit card. You can keep charging, 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 but someday the bill gonna come due, and we're gonna have to pay it. Solomon realized as he got older, and it's a shame, you know, of course, some people don't make it to get older. But Solomon realized that as he got older, what could have happened to him, what should have happened to him, how far he had went away from the Lord, and how gracious God had been. Isn't it good how gracious God is? No matter what we've done, what we've been through, what we are doing now. Some of us laid down in sin, woke up in sin, and we're here this morning. But that's a good thing. God could have killed us. He's giving you another chance. Our Heavenly Father, he stands there with his arms wide open, just waiting for his child to come home. He said, come on home. I already know what you've done. That's all. Come on home. I got you. Come on home. You still got the opportunity. I mean, once your eyes are closed, it's too late. He says, come on home. Solomon, thank God that his eyes were open. And he could say, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. He said, to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring, here's that wisdom, it came back to him. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or whether evil. So if we love God, let us keep his commandments. Let us not, you know, throw stones at our brothers. The Bible says we ought to build them up in Christ. You know, we'll try to get them to get back on their feet and to come back to their senses. Now, I know we got some of them out there who know better and just won't do. Now, them, you got to handle a different guy. I know the pastor know about that. You got to handle them a different guy. But we got to be able to love people. They got to know that we love them before they listen at us. I know we got friends. I got friends, you know, a fellow I know at work that claimed to be an atheist, and I make sure I'm friends with him just because. And now he's going through. I try to make a point, you know, just like Jesus did. You know, Jesus, that woman at the well had five husbands. He didn't throw stones at her. That woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, go and sin no more. You go and don't you do it no more. God is good. And all the time, amen. Amen. I thank you for the opportunity. To God be all the glory.
Thank you, Minister Wells, for that lovely, lovely, so needed teaching. Let us not push it off to somebody else, but say that word was for me.
Amen, amen. Next on our program is a presentation to the musical guest by Deacon Al Barksdale.
Thank you, Brother Sean, for that wonderful message. Thank you, Cypher Leaders, for worship through song. And we have a little token of love that we want to share with y'all this morning. Thanking y'all for coming down and celebrate our pastor and First Lady's anniversary. God bless you all, and may God continue to use y'all through song. To my brother, Brother Sean, thank you for accepting my invite, but most of all, thank you for the Word of God. I know you share some things in my heart that I need to improve. Thank you again and again. Here's a token of our love from Crossroad. May God continue to use you as a teacher, a minister, and an inspirer.
Barksdale. And now we will have expressions of love from Deacon Freddie Pleasance and the congregation.
Pastor, happy anniversary to you and First Lady. 46 years. So that means you got 46 more years to continue, I would assume. Anyway, here's an expression of gifts to you. I got two hands full of stuff, so I'm going to walk to you. Okay. So if anyone else has, huh? Oh yeah, Miss Jessie, excuse me. Sorry, Miss Jessie. We do not want to leave by the First Lady. So, anyone else has any gifts or token of love? So, Pastor, we love you. First Lady, we love you as well. So I'm going to turn this over back to you guys.
Amen. Crossroads, haven't we been blessed today? Amen. Amen.
All right, now we will ask for a selection by the Disciple Heirs and the invitation by Minister Sean Wells, followed by closing remarks from our honorees,
Reverend Coleman and Sister Jessie Coleman.
Amen. Have you been blessed here today?
Amen.
Let's give God a hand clap. Amen. Amen. I was just sitting here listening to the minister and looked down at the program and I saw the crossroads.